by Hanoich Greenblatt.
Bereshus, the Chash V'Tzibur. The title this morning, once again, is Dirshu Highlights. We've had that before a few times. And again, these are a collection of halachas that have been learnt here in Manchester and across the globe by tens of thousands of Yidden, Ken Yirbu, through the program of Daf Yomi Ba'alocha that's becoming so popular, increasingly popular, Baruch Hashem. There's just a sample of a few of the halachas that have been learnt. I want to start with one particular halacha we're actually now in the sugya of Betziah Sapas. I'd like to start with a certain halacha. The reason why I want to start with that one is because I feel I'm a kayim, a mitzvah l'kayim debri chachomim when I say this halacha. Reason being, because the Noda B'Yehuda in Sefer Drashas Hatzlach is he discusses a problem that he noticed when it comes to Netilas Yadayim. And he goes, he's very marich over there to explain what the problem is and how the mistake that's happening. And if you look in Tshuva Sanhagas or Moshe Sternbuch, he says nothing's changed. That mistake is still happening. And he says, mitzvah lahazir al zeh. So mitzvah to publicize this halacha, in case there's anyone who hasn't clarified this halacha yet, it's mitzvah to publicize. So if they say that it's a mitzvah to publicize it, I have a mitzvah l'kayim, mitzvah tibri chachomim, to discuss that halacha. That is the halacha of hefzik by Netilas Yadayim. I'm going to explain what it's all about, Bezus Hashem. Netilas Yadayim has two stages, right? Stage number one is the actual washing. The actual washing, that means I wash, make the bracha, dry my hands. That's Netilas Yadayim. Stage two is the waiting between the washing and the hamotzi, right? That's very common. You're sitting down at the table, waiting for people to gather, and you wait, and there's a bit of time. Then at that time, there's again, that's stage two of Netilas Yadayim. Now, when it comes to hefzik, we all know that during that time when we're waiting for someone to say hamotzi, that means we're finished washing, we're waiting for hamotzi. Everybody knows you're not allowed to be masik, right? We sit there quietly at the table. In fact, someone told me recently, a friend of mine who's relatively new to Yiddishkeit, and he said that he was a bit surprised. One of the first times he ate out with a family, with a from family. So everything was going well until washing. Everything was okay, washing. Everybody's sitting at the table and it's all quiet. And suddenly he starts hearing animal noises. No, okay. He wasn't used to this. He's a pretty civilized fellow and he's wondering what's going on over here. You've got, all this kind of noise. It's very interesting. We don't talk. So what do? We say nu and ah. I don't know if that's better. Yeah? It might not be in the Oxford English Dictionary, nu, but it's in the Yiddish Dictionary, so why should I'm not sure. Pakaponim, that was his aura. We know you don't talk properly at that point. The question is, what happens if you've got another case? You've got a case when, let's say you're at a chasna, and we start washing, whether it's a proper washing, it might be one of these dustbins we're washing out there, and we start washing, and then we see a friend who's behind us in the queue, who's also arrived at this chasna. Ah, shalom aleichem, nice to see you, mazel tov, what table are you on? We'll catch up later. We say the bracha, and we dry our hands. Apparently, that's what the tzlach says. So he says it's a very big problem. Why is that a very big problem? He says, let's understand what the bracha of Netilas Yadayim is all about. We know that brachas, all brachas amitzvahs have to be over lasiyosam. What does it mean, over lasiyosam? Pshat is it has to be before I actually do the mitzvah, right? For instance, the Chanukah coming not so long away, yeah, you make a bracha, and then you light the candles. Right, we say a bracha, then we wash, then we shake lulav, etc. So why is it, by Netilas Yadayim, that we make the bracha only after we've washed our hands? Right? Really, what we should be doing is saying on the Netilas Yadayim, only then washing our hands. Why is it afterwards? And the reason is, because Chazal knew that before washing hands, our hands may well be dirty, which is one of the reasons why they were mechayev to wash our hands before bread. And when our hands are dirty, we're not allowed to say a bracha. So because of that, Chazal said, instead of using the standard procedure of saying a bracha before the mitzvah, in this case, we'll move the bracha till after the mitzvah, right? Similar to tefillah, that's right. Oh, very good. Sorry, after, that's right. After netila. Oh, very good, that's right. Straight after netila, very good. Yeah, straight after netila. Now, the Ramah adds on and he says, don't forget, a chelik of the netila process is drying your hands, because Chazal were mechayev drying. So let's make sure to say that bracha before drying, And that way, we also, to an extent, overlasi yason, because we haven't finished the mitzvah yet. So what's going on over here is, we've got a situation where the bracha is being placed between the washing and the drying. Right? So instead of being before the drying, Chazal moved it to... Instead of immediately before, it's moved to immediately after. But it's also before the drying, because that's also considered overlasi yason. Therefore, the post can point out, if that's the case, we have to make sure that there's absolutely no hefzik between that bracha and the washing beforehand or the drying afterwards. Because just like it's clear to us, that if I'm saying antilas yadayim, or whatever, let's say antilas luluv, and I'm about to shake luluv, and there's a reason why I might want to be mafsik, I hear someone sneezing, and being very polite, I want to say bless you, yeah? I'm not allowed to do that before shaking the luluv. Why? Because I've just made my bracha, and the bracha has to be directly before the mitzvah. So too, say the paskim, when it comes to antilas yadayim, I have to make sure there's no hefzik between the washing and the bracha, and between the bracha and drying our hands. So therefore, it's interesting that the chiyuv to not to be mafsik during washing is a lot more chomor than the halacha of not being mafsik after washing before hamotzi. That means this halacha that we all know that when we're sitting at the table we're quiet until hamotzi happens. Of course we should. But the halacha of actually being mafsik during the netilas yadayim is much more chomor than that. And I'll bring it out with a halacha l'maaseh case. What happens if I'm sitting at the table, I'm about to say Hamotzi, and then I hear someone else saying Hamotzi, or any other bracha for that matter, right? One can answer Amen, says the Kitzer. Halacha l'maaseh, one can answer Amen. Even though we're not meant to be mafsik, but one word Amen is okay in this case, to answer Davash V'Kdusha. Whereas, if I'm in the middle of washing, at any stage during the washing process, if I hear someone else saying Antilas Yadayim, which is very common, especially when there's two sinks or something, hear someone else washing, one may not answer Amen. Because just like it's Poshetas, that before Matzah, when I say Alechidas Matzah, I don't say Amen until I've eaten the Matzah, I don't say anything. So it's over here, you're not allowed to be Masik in any way whatsoever whilst washing. Here, that's one halacha. Asking for a towel. Is it necessary to talk for that? There's nowhere to dry. So we really, really try to avoid any type of talking between the bracha and the mitzvah. Right? Bidi Eved, if he spoke and it was letzarech the netil, the thing, then Enoch HaBidiyah would be okay. But we try to avoid it.
How long can a person be mafsik washing the
How long can he mafsik? So it's interesting. Interesting question. So the Emes says we try to minimize the hefsik as much as possible. Right, but as long as we're going to get the chafiz on mitzvah. As long as you're always doing it, waiting letzayrech the mitzvah, then it won't be considered a hefsek b'diavid. Right, so if I can't make my bracha yet, I can't find a towel or whatever it is, and it's going to take time. That's all waiting letzayrech the mitzvah, so it wouldn't be considered a hefsek. But lachatchila we try to minimize it. Right, so you know it's also very nagia. Besides this halacha, let's just go back to the standard halacha after washing. What's halacha after washing and amotzi? Yeah. Oh, so we the halacha is, as was mentioned before, the Ramah says, lechatchila one shouldn't wait longer than kedei hiluchof beis amma, 22 amas. How long is that? A bit machlekes, ruchayno, etc. We're ranging between 12 and 30 seconds. That is a different shittas over here. Lechatchila means lechatchila. Immediately after, there's nothing else to wait for, then immediately after the mitzvah, one should be saying hamitzi, if we're not waiting for anyone else. If we're waiting, it's the tzarech hamitzah, then we'll do that, yeah? We'll have to wait. Marshall, they say the family of Rabbi Eliashiv said, you know, Rabbi Eliashiv didn't waste a second, as we know. But sometimes after he washed and he went to sit down and the family weren't finished yet. See, sometimes had to wait for quite a while until Kanai Nahora, the whole Olam came around the table. Apparently, he never complained, he never made a fuss, he waited patiently, he never told them off about it. Yeah? It was besides for the Darkei Noyam of Rabbi Eliashiv. Besides that, it was just that's halacha. If you're waiting, let's tzarech hasuda. This is also all part of tzarech hasuda. You're not mechayev to. That's okay. But lechatchila, we try not. There's another thing. Sorry.
Walking to your place, and let's say you go to a house, now you've got quite a bit of a walk.
There's also tzarech hasuda. That's right. Oh, very good. Very good. I wanted to bring that out actually. If what happened, Marshall, moving to another room or another building, is usually a hefsek. It's not something you want to be doing between the bracha and hamotzi, right? Between washing and hamotzi. However, if it's a tzarech hamitzah, for instance, let's say the washing is outside in the garden, They've got a small hall and they put these dustbins outside to wash. So you're walking in from outside to inside to your place. That's okay if necessary. Or on sukkahs, a good example, yeah? You're washing outside and you're coming. So of course we try to minimize it.
What's the idea of them putting matzah?
Some people do it in Antwerp. In Antwerp, the minigis, because they're quite far away, they do that. Yeah, not as I really. So again, because the truth, we're trying to minimize the hefsek. If you can avoid hefsek whenever possible, you can. If you can't, then... very good. I want to discuss another question over here. Something that I didn't really think about until I learned this halacha. Which is, if we think about the minig, let's say a family, the balabais is cutting, he's got a whole loaf of bread, challah, and he wants to wash, he wants to say, "Amotzi," and he's been motzi everybody at the table. Now what he does is, if we think about it, what we do is we cut through the middle of the challah. We remove a nice chunk of challah, and afterwards we cut slices from that piece. Right? Now I've got a question. Why do we do that? Wouldn't it be a lot better just to slice the bread normally from the end? Meaning, don't forget, we are always trying, that's our job here today, we're trying to minimize hefsek, right? So what we're really doing in essence is, we're taking a loaf of bread and we're making two slices even before the balabais is eaten. Cutting down the middle, and then cutting a piece off that. Why is he doing two maisim before when we try to minimize the hefsek? I've got a much better idea, let him just cut off a piece from the end and eat it. That's the question. Sorry? It got baked first. Oh. So you could say maybe if that's a better, because there's a halacha, you should cut into a better, a more crusty piece, which has been baked first. And sometimes it's that way. But very often, faket, it's the corners that are more crusty. Yeah? Yeah. They get baked last, the corners?
Depends on your heat.
Depends on your heat, I hear. It depends on your oven, depends how it works. So you're right. So that could be, in certain cases, you may be right. Yeah, 100%. Certain cases, if it's more than 100%, that's a good reason. But the interesting, apparently there's another reason. Before in the Ramah, Lechem Chamud, Tezion to discuss it, there's another reason why we do that. See, some people will tell me, you know why? Because we don't eat the end of the challah. Right? Oh, kosher. That's very interesting. If we're already mentioning it, the Michas Yitzchak has a shayla. Someone asked him, where's the makor for this halacha? You know, many people don't want to eat the ends of the challah. Where's the makor? And Michas Yitzchak said, I couldn't find a makor. So that's pretty good. If Michas Yitzchak couldn't find a makor, we're going to have trouble. In fact, there's a sefer called Shmir Sagufa Nefesh. Written by a big Tom Tachamayit Yisrael, who made it his job to find all these things. Yeah, he's all these halachas that are dirkash lishikhas and dangers, etc. And he couldn't find a makor. The only makor he found, he said, maybe, I heard from someone who was there, and it's a chabura in Yisrael. He said he found one of makor somewhere, I don't know where it was, that apparently the minhag was, they would always leave a slice of bread from their loaf in case a poor man turns up. You'll have something to give him. So they would always keep aside one slice. He said, maybe, who knows, it might have come from that, we don't know. But there's no makor apparently, any of that. So that can't be the reason why we're not cutting from the end. So why are we not cutting from the end? Says the Tosis Yontov, I'll tell you why we don't cut from the end. You know why? Because that first piece that I cut off the challah after my bracha has got special kedusha. Right? It's the mitzvah. It's the piece of bread that I made my hametzi on. And it's so much of a mitzvah that I love this piece of bread because it's a piece of mitzvah. So says it says Yontov, what happens if me, as the balabais, I start off by cutting off the end and I eat it, so I'm going to be the lucky one to get that piece of bread that the bracha was said on. No one else at the table. Ma shein kein. If I slice the bread down the middle and I take off a big chunk from the bread, and then I share that. I made the bracha at the beginning. I made the bracha and I take off a huge slice when I afterwards. And then I cut that into little pieces. I take one and I give it to everyone else around the table. Then every single yid at this table was zoicha to eat from that first piece of bread that was cut off after the hamotzi. And because of the chib of mitzvah, that's why the halacha is, and the Maharil used to do that, and the Ramah says that, is we cut off a large chunk before giving out to everybody else. Now to understand, further understand the godless of this piece of bread that we're cutting off, yeah, and the chib of mitzvah that Klal Yisrael have for the mitzvah of hamotzi, there's an interesting halacha in the Mishnah Berurah, the end of Kuf Samach Zayin. And he says that that first piece of bread that I cut off and I want to eat, well, number one, there's a halacha that none of that bread should be given to an animal. That means if a person's got a pet and he likes throwing him some food, he can do that. That's fine in certain cases. Yeah, not baltashkis, no. But besides for that, make sure not to give the animal anything, any part of that first piece of slice of bread he received. Because that bread is special. It's bread that we made a bracha on. We have a chibur mitzvah. We love this piece of bread. We don't want to give it to an animal. Interesting. There's one halacha.
Is that something?
Togoy. Yeah,
togoy. You know, some people believe there was the hand that in the open the worker and feel like it. There was the hand.
Yeah.
They opened the worker.
So, well, why do they do that?
They do it. I don't know why. Uh-huh. I don't do it. Yeah.
Right.
I found that a little bit not right.
Yeah, you're probably right because they're making an unnecessary hefsek.
You go back to the tumah.
Or back to the tumah, yeah. To touch it again. Yeah. Ah, okay, that's an interesting question. That's a separate department, yeah, interesting question. Now, there's another halacha also regarding the gadlus and the chashivas of this piece of bread that we've just cut. We don't realize what we're eating. It looks like a piece of challah. To me, it looks like a piece of challah. To Chazal, this was to the Rishonim, this wasn't just a piece of challah. It's a piece that I've said hamoitzi on. Yeah? So they say because...
You said hamoitzi on the whole loaf.
Oh, you're right. It's on the whole loaf. But it's really, I'm saying hamotzi on the first piece that I am eating. What's the chiv? I must make a hefsek, for instance, between my hamotzi and the first piece of bread that I eat. Yeah, because I'll give you an example. For instance, I might not be eating
everybody else on the table also.
Everybody, yeah, that's true. But let's say we're going to leave over. So let's say we don't finish the loaf. Yeah. So the hamotzi wasn't really said on those pieces, right? The hamotzi is said on what I'm going to eat. Yeah, it's interesting. I hear what you're asking, but you can see how they looked at it. Very interesting. There's another halacha. Yeah, it's also very nagia. Say the poskim because of the chibur I have for this first piece of challah that I'm cutting off. Therefore, you have to make sure to finish that piece of challah before you eat anything else, any other challah, any other bread. That means what happens is you've got your slice. Might be a nice size slice on Shabbos. It might very well be a nice slice. There's an Indian to have a big piece. And you've got this piece of bread, and you start eating it, and then for whatever reason, you want to start gnashing on another piece of bread. Yeah? So the halacha is one shouldn't do that. One should complete this one, finish off this piece of bread, and only afterwards move on to any other bread. Because I wonder if I've got this mitzvah, chibur mitzvah. I don't want to move on to anything else before I've eaten this whole piece. So we want to finish off that piece, and only then do we move on. There's one exception to that rule. And that exception is a Shloah HaKadosh. And Shloah HaKadosh says that one should leave a little piece of this challah till the end of the meal. Why? Because that way, don't forget, we've got kedushas piece. That way, you're going to have the tam hamoitzi b'piv at the end of the meal. Bit like afikoman. Yeah, you don't want to eat anything after afikoman because you want to finish off. Here, you want to finish off such a beautiful piece. You want to start with it, but you want to finish with it as well. So, according to Shloah, one should leave a little piece to the end. Right? Not everybody. That's for. Good question. I mean, the people, the masubin, if that's their hamotzi, do they also have that inyan? I don't know. Yeah? But here for the beitzia, definitely. The maisa, many are not knowing that way. It's questionable because the kavachaim asks, he doesn't understand. We've just seen the halacha, you're meant to be finishing off your piece of bread before you do anything else. How can you leave some of it to the end? Bit of an in. The maisa shlaka, the shtetas, Reb Moshe says, if you're not knowing that way, it doesn't matter. It's tail on the minig. If you want to, you don't. But those that do it, this is why they're doing it. They want to have this chibur mitzvah to right at the end. So one should really give everybody, right? But you can very often, if you look around the loaf, you'll find a nice crusty part that can be cut, and then you can turn the loaf around. That's right. That's what we should do. Unless you're saying, unless maybe that place where I want to cut the three quarters isn't so crusty.
Yes. Which one do you
get? Which ones? What's more important, to get the crustiest part or to get the? I imagine the crustiest part is more chashuv, because the Gemara talks about that. Yeah, yeah. But it's not always negiah to our loaves today. Many of our loaves, we've got fan ovens, and yeah. But if yes, then that's a Gemara. I should dechayel. It's more. Yeah. Ah, very good. I want to move on now to the sugya of salt. Yeah, Sinyana de Yoma, this week's parasha, yeah? So don't. Let's talk a bit, little bit about salt. We know there's a minig, there's a halacha, that one should have salt on the table during a meal. Some people dip, some people don't. Akapon, let's talk about why we are having salt on the table during our meals. And it's very interesting. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Mishneh Berurah, you'll find there are five reasons why we have salt on our table. Five reasons. Why five reasons? Let's say Mazai, one by one. We'll see the Nafka Minas between the Talmim, so we have to try and remember what these five reasons are. Reason number one is to dip, one should dip the bread into salt immediately after the first piece of bread I eat should be dipped into salt. Why is that? It's a covered for the bracha that the first piece of bread eaten straight after the bracha, it should have a lot of taste, be tasty. That means, imagine if I'm going to have a few pieces of bread during the meal, and they're all going to be tasty because I'm going to be dipping them in salt, and this one straight after the bracha is not dipped in salt, it's of lesser quality, that's not nice to the bracha, right? The bracha needs a good chavrusa to have a nice piece of bread afterwards, to be a kala. We always want to have, don't forget, we have a shalem and a chavik, we have all these halachas about the piece of the food that we eat immediately after the bracha. So too, this bread should be dipped into salt, it's more tasty, and that way it's a cover for the bracha. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that we're worried, the Paschim are worried, that since it's a normal thing to dip bread into salt because you want to give it taste, so imagine if you don't bring the salt on before the meal, and you say hamotzi, and then you want to taste it, and you're about to eat it, but you want it to taste good. So you're going to go running around looking for salt to dip your bread into because you want it to taste good. And you're going to end up making a hefset between your hamotzi and your bread. And therefore they said, make sure to always have bread or a salt on the table, so that you won't end up with a hefsek. Right? According to that reason, you don't actually have to dip it, but you have to have it on the table. Because you don't avoid a hefsek. Oh, we'll get there. Now, says the Paschim, that what happens if you've got good quality bread? The Ramah says, for instance, Mishneh Berurah says, for instance, it's made out of wheat, yeah, like most of our bread today. Yeah, our bread is good quality, it's tasty bread, many of them have got additives, you don't want to know what goes in there. So it's got a lot of taste. If that's the case, say the Paschim, these two talmud don't apply. Why? Because you're not going to run around looking for salt because it's tasty as it is. And it's not going to be a chisorin in the covered of the bracha because you're eating a very tasty piece of bread straight after the bracha. So we're fine with that, with the contact. Both of these two reasons don't apply. However, we have some other reasons. Reason number three, says the Ramah, which would apply nowadays as well, is because our tables are doimet to the Mizbeach. Why are our tables doimet to the Mizbeach? That's very interesting. Why? Mishneh Berurah says for two reasons. Because the Chazal tell us really, in the Zman Beis HaMikdash, what was Mechaper on Klal Yisrael? The Mizbeach was Mechaper. Nowadays we have no Mizbeach, unfortunately. So what's Mechaper on us is our tables are Mechaper on us. They are Kapara, they atone for our various. Why are they a Kapara? Says Mishneh Berurah for two reasons. There are two very special things that happen at our tables. Number one is we take food that we would have eaten and we give it to poor people. So the fact that our tables are springboard for that mitzvah of chesed, of tzedakah, so it's now a kapara, number one. Number two is because we're makbid to say Talmud Torah at the table. We always say Talmud Torah at the table. And because of that, our table is an opportunity for Torah. So these two schusim turn our table into a shulchan. Not only that, into mizbeach, sorry, yeah. Not only that, our achila, when we eat at that table, is daimed to someone who's bringing a korban on the mizbeach. Why? Because why do we eat? Of course, we eat because of we want to have koyach avodas Hashem. So that alone is like a korban. Our table is like a mizbeach, and because of that, just like on the mizbeach, there was always salt on the mizbeach, so to our table should always have salt.
Maybe
because
I'm sorry,
because
he does not have salt for
every night. Oh, yeah, maybe we're going to get to that. It's a very good. So now, there's another reason because we want to be like Mizbeach. But again, this halacha Mizbeach is not mechayev me to dip into salt, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav. I just have to make sure it's on the table. There should be a salt set on the table, and that will be mekayem dismissal on Mizbeach. That's number three. Reason number four, says the Ramah. I've forgotten. Just a minute. Oh, yeah. Bris Melach, that's right. Chazal were worried. So Chazal were worried, what's going to happen? Everybody's going to come and wash, and they're going to be sitting at the table. And in those seconds, when Yidden are waiting for each other to come and eat, there's going to be no Torah between them because they can't talk. So the Satan's going to come and be Makatra. He's going to say, look, is Yidden sitting here without Torah?
Oisiv mitzvah.
I feel like I could probably
mitzvah.
You can't. You can maybe because you can think of learning. So what's the time? Must everyone is thinking of learning.
Yes, what's the time?
The Kinnira, there were Yidden who weren't thinking of learning before I might see. So really, he had this Taina. So therefore, you should put Melach on the table, and Bris Melach is Megan. For some reason, there's a special school in the Bris Melach that protects the Yid from the Kitruk of the Sultan. Those are reason number three, number four. Again, you don't have to dip, it has to be on the table. Finally, number five, the Mishpura says, is after all said and done, Alpi Kabbalah, Mekobolim, right, one should dip bread into salt three times. Yeah? Why? I don't know. I don't understand. If you want more details, you can have a look in Kavach Chaim, Sikot and Lamed Zayin. It goes to town about the Kavonis over there. Alpi Kabbalah, why one should have three, I don't understand a word of it, but it's there if you want to look. Why we have to dip three times salt? Oh, really? No, I didn't know that. Who says that? Someone says that? Where's that come from?
I don't know. I just somebody wants to tell me that. So.
Really? Interesting.
Maybe I made it up.
Interesting. Okay. So it looks like it's number six over here. But we've got five. So let's just analyze our minig over here. Yeah? Just after we've got these five, we'll run through very quickly. Reason number one is because we want it to be a chasher piece of bread, we want to have taste. Number two, we don't want you to be running around looking for salt. Number three, we like a mizbeach. Number four, the bris melach is protects us. Number five, our pika bola, whatever that means. Now, our bread, yeah, is good quality bread. It's made of wheat. We don't have reason number one or reason number two because, yeah, we're not going to run around for salt and it's a chasher bracha. However, so we don't have to dip. However, we have a din of having salt on the table. Why? Because we're doing a mizbeach. And because it's megin, right? Novasa, we shakot l'chayra, we shouldn't have to dip. Just have it on the table. So why do we dip? We dip because of reason number five. Our pikabola. Pikabola, our Hashokan said.
Dafke dipping and not sprinkling.
Oh, dafke dipping and not sprinkling. Yeah, that's interesting. Because since the whole reason our pikabola, and the tame akabola is pshat, you dip it into salt, whatever it means, so that dafke dipping has gone afke minah by matzah. Yeah? Have you ever tried dipping matzah into salt? Right? So you're not going to get much salt. But we don't need the salt. Because it's really tasty. It's made of wheat. And therefore you don't really need to dip it into salt. Okay. And you've got salt on the table, so you're making all the other time happy. The only reason why we're dipping is our pika bola. And for that, it doesn't matter whether you eat the salt or not. It has to be dipped into salt. Right? Save the night you don't. Oh, some people are makpid not to because you don't want to be rattle the town. Yeah, yeah, very good. Because you don't really need to. Mikael din, there's no chiyuv. It's all api kabala. Yeah, but kapana, we should know the importance of this halacha. Even in case when we're not going to be dipping, but one should always have salt on the table. It's an important halacha. For instance, our Rosh Hashanah, that we mentioned before. Rosh Hashanah, many people dip in honey, right? They won't dip in salt.
You have to dip the sandwich
in salt. See, so again, since we're coming al pi kabbalah, yeah, but we don't need to dip at all. The whole thing is al pi kabbalah, and al pi kabbalah is an Indian to dip the bread into salt. Yeah, so you want to recan that the chayre, even if you've got other things on your bread, which is still. It seems only by. Yeah, no. It seems they only talk about when you're eating bread. When it's a proper suda, there's a chiyuv of salt. Yeah. So therefore, even Rosh Hashanah night, where we don't dip into salt, we dip into honey. Although, incidentally, some I think the svadim dip into both. Some svadim dip into both. Yeah, because the kavachai is actually dip into both. Because you need the honey or the sugar, he calls it, because that's they had sugar, is for sweet. But don't forget, we have this on pikaboli. You want to have the salt. Okay, so most of us don't do that. We don't dip into salt on Rosh Hashanah night, but we should have that salt on the table. Because don't forget, we've got other reasons. We've got the bris melech that's megan on us. We want it to be like a mizbeach, etc. So we want to have the salt at the table at all times. Anytime we have a bread meal, there should be salt on the table. It's interesting. This week's parasha, he says, Surah Avdona, Chayin Levacha, Mikdash Halevi. He says, he asked a very interesting question. He says over here, he wanted to go and give us an interesting rashi in this week's parasha. Why did she turn into salt, Mrs. Light? Because she didn't have away with salt. He said, let's go. He asked to go and bring some salt for the guests. She says, no, I told you, you're trying to bring it to there. I don't want to. He didn't. She want. So he asked, he said, I don't understand. light gave a massive meal to these guests. It says, the pasuk says, he gave her the mamish a mishdeh made for them, right? And she was fine with that. But then he said to her, "Can you go and bring a bit of salt?" She said, "No way, chutzpah, salt. I don't give them. What does she have against this salt? Yeah, she gave him a whole meal. So he's got various terutzim. One of the terutzim he says she understood there's a halacha to give someone to eat. But he says, but the Indian of salt is not always a halacha. Sometimes it's only a minig. She said, "I don't mind halacha about minig." That she was fighting with chaltaikif. Yeah, he says, "Af haminig." You look at Lashon Rashi. "Af haminig hazeh atava." Okay, so there are tzachos. Just one other point, that one has to make sure to leave the salt on the table till after benching, says the Shlo. Right? It's not good enough to clear up.
So Tell all the caterers,
okay. Yeah, that has to leave it there till after. Very good. Just I've paused, what does it intend to, right? A few minutes, I've stickled Josh on the parasha maybe. I had a kasha on this week's parasha. Yeah, the Gemara in Pesachim darshens from the pasuk Vayashkim Avram Baboike Vayachpesh Es Chamoiroi, but the pasuk of what of the Akedah, and the Gemara says you learn from here that Zrizim Maktim El Mitzvahs. Right, we want to go be as early as possible, and the Chayyur it's very shveh, because if you look into our parasha you'll find that there's another time when the pasuk says Vayachpesh Avram. What's the pasuk? Vayashkim Avram Baboike, so early in the morning, and that pasuk is written where? When he sent away Yishmael. And we find that pasuk is before the parasha of Akedah. So why did the Gemara wait till the parasha of Akedah to teach me Zrizim Maktim El Mitzvahs when we got identical wording earlier on in the parasha, which tells me the same thing? That Vayashkav Rama, but he got up and he sent Ishmael back in. So what's pshat? Chayyur pshat azay? That when Avraham Avinu sent away Ishmael, he was sending Ishmael because Ishmael was a bad hashpah on Yitzchak. And when it comes to a bad hashpah, then you can't hang around for another minute. So when it says Vayashkem Avram Baboike, and he got up so early and he sent Ishmael out, then Pshad is not because Zrizim Makdim La Mitzvahs. In order to?
The Davin, you want to pray.
That's why he got up early. I see. Oh, that's another pasuk. Oh, very good. Yeah, very good. But here we see Pshat is the reason why he sent him out. It's nothing to do with Zrizim Maktim El Mitzvahs. They sent him out because when we're dealing with Ashpois Rois, and every single second is precious. And therefore, that's, you can't bring me a riot that's Zrizim Maktim El Mitzvahs. Because maybe he did that because of the Ashpo. I heard a fantastic story, the Bob Verov Zachin Nevocha. Apparently, one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva was hanging around with the wrong Olam. And the Rosh Hashiva was getting worried about it. So he asked the Rebbe, maybe you can go and speak to him and be mechazik him. You know, Shani, you called this Bacher in, this Bacher says, he said to him, "You know, I hear you're getting friendly with this crowd." And the Bacher said to him, "Rebbe, I'm telling you, I agree they're not the best of Bacherim, but you should, just tell you one thing, I don't get up to what they get up to. Yeah, that's them, I make sure to keep out of the way, I don't do anything bad." So the Rebbe said to him, "Maybe you can help me out with translation in the word in Shemoneh Esra. We say v'lam al shinim. We say v'azeide meheiros sa'akeros ha'shaberos samagir. What does a samagir mean? Can you translate the word or samagir?" His bacha said, "No, I can't. Don't know what it means." So the Rebbe turned to him. He says, "I'll be honest. I also don't know what it means. But when you see the context, sa'akeros ha'shaberos ha'chalim ha'shpinim ha'shachniyim, you get a general idea what this word is all about." Yeah. So he said, "I don't know you, but I know the type of friends you're hanging around with, and I get a general idea of what's going on." That's the Koyach HaShpoah. And someone once pointed out, Moed HaGezach, coming up soon, Pashas told us, where the Pasuk says, that Vatiyena Moiras Ruach LiYitzchak LaRivcha, that Esav got married to these wives, and they were Makdav Edezora, and Yitzchak and Rivka were very upset about it. And says Rashi over there, and Sif Sechom explains, that Yitzchak was a lot more bothered by this Avodah Zarah than Rivka was. And says the Sif Sechom, why? Why was he more bothered? He says, pshat is because Rivka was used to this Avodah Zarah already. She had been brought up in a home of Avodah Zarah. Masha'inkin, Yitzchak was brought up in the home of Avraham Avinu, so he never had these problems. He'd never seen Avodah Zarah, and it bothered him terribly. Someone points it out to me, Moed HaGezach. Rivka, at this time, do you know how old Rivka was? When she left the house, she was 3. That's right. And now, at this stage, when Esau got married, how old was she? She was 60. 60. That means you've got Rivka at 60 years old, who's not so bothered when she sees Avodah Zarah, because when she was 3, she saw someone being over the Avodah Zarah.
In the genes.
But he doesn't say it's the genes, it's what she saw. Yeah? It's Ashpah. That's the koyach that a tiny Ashpah can have after 57 years. And the emes is, just to finish off, here, when we're dealing with Hilchos Ktzias HaPas, we find the inyan of Ashpah and good chaverim is very negea to Hilchos Ktzias HaPas. The Gemara Taka, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Simon Kufayin, Shulchan Aruch says that Nekiya Adas Yerushalayim Loi Hayu Mesubin Mesuda Elem Ken Yoidim Mi Meisiv Emoim. Before they sat down to a meal, they make sure who's going to be at the table. They didn't want to share a meal with the type of people they don't want to have as company. And Faket, on the other way, that's we see Vaita, this Koyach Ashpah of hanging around the wrong people. Oh, but Faket, we find when it comes punk by Suda, the Gemara tells us, it's Gemara right at the end of Brochas, it says, Kol anene mi Suda shatamilicham shari b'soichai ki'ilu nene mizu v'ashchina. Right, someone who's involved in sits down to a meal, and he's beitzeh here in his meal together with Talmid Chacham the Faket. Kilo Nene Biziv Ashchina, because of what he's going to learn. It's like Halach Lamaisa, the Rambam. It's Halach Meshabura brings it. Simukuf Nivov, that there's a mitzvah, there's a chiyu midereis of voice sidbak for a yid to have shaychus to Talmid Chacham. To have shaychus to him. Lechol velishtois im Talmid Chacham. He should sit down and have a meal with Talmid Chacham, because that way says the Rambam, Yom Bimaisa he's going to learn. Because as much as on the one hand we see that what Hashpah Ro can be from a friend and a company that's not so complimentary, so the other hand, Faket, Midataiva Maruba, the Maida a person can have when he comes and he has a Shaykhas, Tamid Chachomim, then Faket, he learns so much from them and he can grow so much. So I think maybe that's something we can take out of Batsiyas HaPasan of this week's Parsha. Yeah? Maybe appreciate. You know, I was thinking here in Manchester, we're very lucky. We're very, very lucky. Not all towns have what we have. Yeah, we can be proud of it. At Baruch Hashem Manchester, there's a moedig amokam Torah, there's yeshivas and kolim, there's people learning Torah. Emma says, you know, sometimes you walk down the street, and there's certain people, I see them on the street on Shabbos, I don't want to wish them good Shabbos. Because the Shiloh Bittul Torah. Yeah, you can see, he's walking down, he's kulei shakua, he's got, you can see, mom, she sees people walking down the street, they're pushing shakua and learning, and you don't want to disturb them. Yeah, I want to say good Shabbos to them, I want to connect to them, a voice sit back. Yeah, there's a mitzvah to connect to these people. But why should I disturb them? They're learning Torah. We're very lucky to appreciate what we have. Yeah. Mitzvah Hashem, Mishtaka Vizaycha, Tadek HaChizav from this week's parasha. Soon in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see not only Tinene Ke'ilu Ziv Ashkena, but Mitzvah Hashem Vizaycha for the Ziv Ashkena itself in Yerushalayim. Yeah.